RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Great to have Joe back for a regular spot on Correct Weight Talking Horses. And Joe, we've got a bit of ground to cover as usual. We'll get to Joe O'Neill and get an update on Prime Thoroughbreds shortly. But the news of this week, no doubt, the Magic Millions sale. And I've got to put my hand up and said I went under 3 million. You took the overs for Sunlight, and I certainly showed my prowess at tipping under those circumstances.
Yes, good morning, Warren. Sunlight smashed the all-time Magic Millions auction record earlier this week when she sold for $4.2 million on what was a spectacular opening day of the National Broodmare sale on the Gold Coast. Coolmore's Tom Magnier snapped up the mare and was among three seven-figure purchases for his Hunter Valley operation. They went on an absolute buying spree. Coolmore, as they have been doing for a while with the top-class mares now, to really boost the chances of their Triple Crown winning now Stallion Justify.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that Magic Million sale in more detail. I referenced that Joe O'Neill from Prime Thoroughbreds was about to join us. They've got a very exciting team heading towards the spring, and I think the only surprise yesterday when Paddy Payne and Billy Egan combined in those colours was perhaps the price of Miss Divine M, who was shooting for three straight at Moonee Valley and ended up saluting at $21, Joe.
She did get up at very good odds in what was a high-quality race, the third event yesterday at Moonee Valley. The Remembering Andrew Gilbert and Gavin List handicap, important too. To note yesterday, Warren, that fallen jockeys were paid tribute to yesterday at the Valley, which was a lovely touch to the opening meeting of the metropolitan season in Victoria.
Right around the country, and it was so well handled by various media outlets. Love the racing.com coverage highlighting a number of those fallen jockeys, and it's something that we should never forget, Joe.
No, and we won't forget in a hurry the performance of the winner of Miss Divine M, carrying the Prime Thoroughbred's colours, as you've alluded to, Warren. And Joe O'Neill, who heads up Prime, is our guest on Talking Horses this morning. Morning, Joe. Nice way to kick off the new season.
Yeah, it was nice, wasn't it? First runner for the season, and she came out and saluted. And, you know, she's a tough filly, and, you know, she really put her in the right spot. And then she hit the front at the top of the straight, and you know, they all had a crack at her, but she prevailed and won the race for us, which was terrific.
I thought the tenacity that she showed going to the line against a really nice quality field was particularly impressive, Joe. Had she shown much on the track leading into yesterday's win?
Oh, yeah. No, we've been happy with her from day one. I bought her at the Weanling sale here 2 years ago at the Magic Millions National Sale, and we had her broken in and sent her to Patrick. And she'd always shown us that she had good ability. We gave her one run at her first preparation, and she went okay. And then we brought her back this time, and she went to the bush and beat a pretty good field of two-year-olds first up, a couple of high-profile two-year-olds. And then Patrick spoke to me and said, look, we're trying to find the right race for her. So we decided to put her to a 58 against the older horses, and she beat them. And it's never easy for a two-year-old filly up against horses that are 4 and 5 year old, but she was too good for them. And only about 3% of horses ever win their next start after they win their maiden. So she came out and she did that against the older horses. And we went to Moonee Valley yesterday feeling as though she was would be very competitive. She drew the right gate. And as I said, she jumped well. Billy did a great job. He settled her. And then she was very strong through the line. She's done that at all three of the runs. She's by Super One, who's a young sire that stands up at Newgate Farm. He's the son of I'm Invincible. And she was his first Metropolitan Mini yesterday. So I think it augurs well for her for the future. We'll put her in the paddock now. And I'll sit down with Patrick and we'll look at when we bring her back. We'd probably look to bring her back at the end of the carnival at Sandown with a view to racing her through the summer.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, going back to the purchase story behind Miss Divine M, you paid just $42,500 for her out of the Newgate Farm draft at the 2018 Magic Millions National Weanling Sales, and took a bit of a punt on Super One.
Yeah, well, I love first season sires, Joey, as you know. I mean, I've been supporting first season sires since we first started our business in 1997. I think they represent terrific value, and you know, you've just got to work out which ones are going to be the ones that will do the job, and then try and find the progeny by them, because probably about 30% of our best mares in Australia go to first season sires. And so there's a lot of very good mares go there. The studs try to get their, give their young stallions the best chance they can possibly get to get going. And I love it. I mean, you know, if you look at my other horses at the moment, I mean, Ruby Saki was first crop out of Ruby. Patoose, first crop for Deep Field. I mean, I bought Casa de Largo, first crop out of de Largo de Luxe. She's the only stakes horse, but, you know, she's a good filly. And we go back a few years or whatever, but horses like Erremore was out of the first crop of Stardom, and she was in Spunky's first stakes horse. You know, horses like Horrix going back to Tiji. Unchained My Heart was out of the first crop of Almaha. So we've been doing this for a long time. We only buy put two or three each year by the first season sign. But this one looks like she's a very good filly. I'd like to see the one. I bought four of them actually out of the 15 yearlings I bought, which is a bit of a fairly, you know, a big commitment. But we've got another one running today in the first race at Muswellbrook.
For Newgate's Super One, who still stands at a very reasonable fee, I would have thought, at $11,000, Joe.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably pretty reasonable. At the moment, of course, I think a lot of the stallion fees, personally, are just too high with the current economic climate and everything that's going on in the world. I think horses like Super One and around that $10,000 to $25,000 mark of the area where people will be looking to send their mares, and hopefully they can get a good return if they get a nice foal. But he's done a reasonably good job with his first crop. I always thought they'd be 3-year-olds, Joe. I never thought that they'd come out and, you know, set the world on light as 2-year-olds. I mean, I'm invincible progeny get better with age, and Super One was a pretty high quality horse. Fast horse, and that's what we like to breed to, and we like to buy. I bought a couple of weanlings this week up. One by Russian Revolution, another one by Briar. Two very nice young horses and good fast horses. But we need in Australia, our race is all about sprinting. I mean, I know people like to get the quality, you get the Oaks horses and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, with 95% of our races are geared towards sprinting races and mile races, you've got to go and look for them because that's where the money is.
Yeah, you mentioned reinvesting at the Magic Millions weanling sales this week. So you secured fillies by the first season size Russian Revolution of Pariah for $60,000 and $30,000 a piece. So reasonable purchases. Overall, how did you find the sale? There were some interesting results out of it.
Yeah, no, it was a good sale. I mean, it's always an interesting sale. It's a sale that I like to buy out of. I bought 2 years ago, and Mr. Cashman is well known in Melbourne. I bought him at that sale, and he's not far off racing. And Gargo's Bell, who are running the Cosette Stakes next week. So the three we bought 2 years ago were winners. So it's a sale that can produce a lot of good horses. I thought that the quality this week was good overall. We had a number of horses fail the vet, which is not unusual at this type of a sale. And, you know, we're big x-ray people. I mean, I make sure, I don't think, if you buy horses and don't get the x-rays checked, then you're doing yourself a disservice. So we go through and closely check the horses. Tim Roberts did my bet. He's very, very particular about the clinical inspection and also the x-rays. So yeah, I think we had 11 out of 18 fail. And then out of the other 8, we managed to buy 2. But I think that there'll be some good horses come out of this sale. And we were looking at some of the, you know, the first season size, like the Russian Revolutions. I mean, they look like racehorses to me, and they certainly he stamps them, which is important for a stallion. I hate looking at stallions where everything's a bit wishy washy. I mean, the Hellbents looked okay, and I bought a Pariah, so obviously I like the Pariah. But I think it's a very strong filly, but filly I bought by Pariah. It's out of a good family, great vintage at the third dam, of course. Important in the Melbourne Cup, but it's a good fan, river and a charm and great honour. But overall, I think Magic Millions did a great job under very difficult circumstances to get the sale off the ground, and I hope that they've been rewarded. I think they were pretty happy. I had a game of golf with Jerry Harvey on Friday. We spent a couple of hours together and we were just discussing the sale, and he was pretty happy with the results overall.
Well, across the 2 days of selling the National Weanling Sale for our listeners at the Magic Millions, rounded out with a gross of just over $7.7 million, an average price of $41,435 for the 186 lots sold at a clearance rate of over 72%. So Magic Millions has officially gone on record to say, when you look at what is going on in the world, that they're satisfied with the results. So at the moment, Joe, how are you seeing COVID affect your business, if at all?
Well, it's been an interesting time. I feel a bit like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape. I had to get out of Victoria to spend 14 days in New South Wales before I could come into Queensland for the sale. And then they put the sale back another week. So I got to Queensland. I've been away since the 4th of July when I left Melbourne. Look, it's having an impact in as much as, you know, I'm not at home in my office doing everything the way I'd like to do it. And I would have only normally come up here and spent probably about 8 or 9 days. I'm sitting back now looking at what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to travel out of Victoria for the end of the year. So my plan at this stage is to stay here for a few days, try and get all the paperwork done for the horses, and then head back towards the Hunter Valley and probably spend 3 or 4 days in the Hunter. So I want to go through and have a look at a lot of weanlings at the moment and see what's out there and to get a feel for the weanlings that will be going to the sales next year in January. Probably more important that we do that this year than ever before. And then head into Sydney to tidy up a couple of little loose ends, because once I get back into Victoria, I won't be able to come back to back into New South Wales. We'll go into South Australia, where we would like to have a look at the weanlings and buy there as well, or into Queensland. So it's going to be an interesting few months. And I suppose we've got to sit back and hope everything settles down in Victoria in particular, and that it doesn't we don't have big outbreaks of the virus in other states. Because, you know, I mean, those early sales next year in January, particularly of the Magic Millions, could be under the cloud at the moment.
Yeah, it is a worry, isn't it? But it's hard to make any decisions for too much of the long term, Joe, isn't it, from a business point of view, because we just don't know what is going to happen with the virus, but all you can do is keep kicking goals and get winners like this at Divine M yesterday at Moonee Valley, a good tonic during what is a pretty challenging time at the moment. Interested just finally on your thoughts, we led off the segment with a discussion around the Mare Sunlight selling for over $4 million. Did that surprise you at all, of the money around for those high-class mares?
No, it didn't. Look, you know what, Joe, I think what we've got to do in our businesses, we've got to look to the future. We can't continue to look back and read the papers. So you've got to look to the future, because the day will come when all this is behind us. It might be 6 months away, it might be 3 months away, who knows. But then we'll move on. So I'm actually looking at this as an opportunity to buy, you know, nice, these two fillies I bought. You know, I bought them under the odds. They're really nice fillies. I thought Sunlight bought her money. She's a great racehorse. We actually had her vetted when she was a yearling. So she was on our list because she was a beautiful, beautiful yearling. And then she was probably pretty much retained. A lot of it was retained by Wigan Stud and Anthony Thompson raced her. So, no, I wasn't surprised to see it bring a lot of money. We've got a good filly, or two good fillies, but Rubisaki, the high-class filly, if she was to go on the market, I think she'd probably be bringing somewhere around the $2 million. But their fillies of that quality are hard to find. And the high class breeders and the big breeders, they want those mares to go to their stallions, and also then to be able to keep the daughters out of those mares to breed on and for their farm. So it's there. You buy horses like that, it's a long term commitment. But she's a beauty, and as were the others. I mean, Champagne Cuddles, beautiful filly that was. And it's going to augur well for us for the future. The Hunter Valley studs are still doing very well. And also, well, you know, I mean, and this sale, I think overall, the sale for the mares right through to, we've got the yearling start tomorrow. It's been a successful week or so for Magic Millions, coming off the back of the England sale, which I thought was quite a good sale as well. So there's a lot going on. A lot of people thinking about, you know, where they head in the future, but I think we've got to be positive enough to say, okay, this is not going to go on forever, and let's get ready for when it's over so we can have one hell of a party, Joey.
Sounds good. Joe, great to get your insights this morning, and good luck with the future of Miss Divine Anne. We look forward to seeing her return later in the spring.
Great. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And for those of you interested in River Sark, she'll probably return on the 29th of August in the Cockrum Stakes.
All right. Good luck with that.
Thanks a lot. See you later. All the best, Warren.
That's Joe O'Neill from Prime Thoroughbreds, Warren. Great to have him as guest this morning. He's got another very good filly in Miss Divine Anne by the looks of things. Look forward to seeing her in a few months' time by the sound of it at Sandown.
Yeah, and highlighting the travel restrictions around Australia at the moment. And he led off with feeling a bit like Steve McQueen in The Great Escape. I don't know if you've seen that film, Joe, but images of Joe O'Neill on a motorbike leaping a big barbed wire fence just don't seem to really fit with me.
He's a big dad, Joe, but a character all the same. Smart by him to navigate his way across borders like he has.
Yeah, absolutely. And referencing the price for the Magic Millions broodmare sales in particular, and I suppose if you think about it, a stallion such as Justify and the investment Coolmore have in that, I mean, being able to guarantee that off the bat he's going to be able to go to mares of such high quality as Sunlight, it could very well be a very astute investment, albeit at the top end.
Yeah, absolutely. And a number of other high-profile mares that were sold also. Tom Agnew also walked away with Unforgotten, who, well, Unforgotten actually was set a record becoming the most expensive lot sold to an online bidder in Australia. 20 minutes after Sunlight went through the ring, she sold for $2.75 million. The Australian Oaks winner was prepared, of course, by Chris Waller during her racing career, but she was purchased by Yulong in Victoria, and it was offered through the Blue Sky Premium Consignment Draft. Yulong's Luke Wilkinson, speaking on behalf of Yulong during the week, said that Unforgotten was highly rated by the team and they were absolutely delighted to secure her. So Yulong, as well as Coolmore, very prominent in the sales during the week.
Obviously, with the end of the breezing season, a lot of premiership tables, etc., being finalised, and what a great stallion for an extended period of time Snitzel has been, Joe.
Yes, Snitzel, for the fourth consecutive time, won the General Sires Premiership this season. He won with $17.8 million prize money, more than $2 million clear of I Am Invincible and Piero. So that really confirms the Arrowfield Superstar Stallion as the dominant Australian sire of this era. It's the eighth premiership won by an Arrowfield stallion in the past 15 years, following the Duke's Choice in 2006, 10 and 14. Flying Spur won the premiership in 2007, and now Snitzel's four titles in 2017, 18, 19 and now 20. So Snitzel also heads the 2019-20 general sires table by stakes winners, that at 18. And stakes wins of 25 ahead of Exceed and Excel and I Am Invincible. And significant too that his lifetime stakes winners to runners strike rate for his Australian crops remains at a very imposing 9.8%.
From a breeding perspective, Joe, anything else that really caught your eye racing across Australia yesterday?
I think the horse that caught many people's eyes yesterday was the hard landing win yesterday at Moonee Valley. Of course, a son of All Too Hard making a successful return to the track. He put the writing on the wall, didn't he, with a career debut in the Group 3 Maribyrnong plate at Flemington Oaks Day last November. He's out of the very good mare Smithland, this colt, and has a bright future ahead of him. He failed in the Group 3 Blue Diamond Prelude, Warren, as you would know, in February, due to a problem that he was enduring, and that was that he had a severe respiratory infection at the time. But he's come back big and strong and looks destined for some nice wins over the coming months.
And some high-profile racing breeders and owners involved in the ownership, none more so than Neil Werrett, and a real Neil Werrett pedigree there by All Too Hard out of Snitzerland, obviously horses that Neil had a strong involvement in during their racing careers.
Yeah, it's worth worth noting too the success that Neil Werrett is and has had as an owner, of most famously known for being one of the owners of the unbeaten champion mare Black Caviar, but he's had so many other good horses over the course of time and bred many of them too. Also in this particular colt, Hard Landing, Darren Thomas, who is a prolific owner and breeder in Australia, and also Steve McCann. The syndicate picked up this All Too Hard colt at the Magic Millions for $280,000 out of the Vinery stud draft. He's a brother to a Group 3 placed horse in Sars V and is the second foal and second winner for Switzerland, which earned nearly $2 million in prize money.
Outstanding success Neil has had, but it shouldn't be understated the amount of investment that people like Neil and Darren Thomas and others make in the industry. It's very easy to look at the highlights, but I'm sure between them they've raced a lot of slow horses, but the success that they've had with All Too Hard, or Neil in particular with All Too Hard, Snitzerland, and obviously Black Caviar, and then Hard Landing, a horse that may well have a bright future following that first up win yesterday.
It certainly looks likely, doesn't it? But it's owners like Neil Werrett and breeders that really keep the industry ticking over here in Australia. And as Joe O'Neill highlighted in the interview a short time ago too, the really big players right at the moment are reinvesting the money they've made out of the industry, and that's important at this time.
Great to see Magic Millions in testing circumstances do such a good job in albeit on a delayed time frame, but running that sale so successfully during the week, Joe.
Yeah, it's been all over the shop, hasn't it? Of course, with the delay to the sale for a start, the goalposts are moving all the time. They've done a great job.
Great work, Joe. Look forward to doing it all again next week.
Look forward to talking to you then. Thanks, Warren.
Joe McKinnon, Talking Horses. Time for a break. We'll be back with Ray Thomas to look at everything Sydney racing.
Racing people love Riberas.